The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 23rd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Harry Cooney will join us closer to the bottom of the hour to take a complete look at today's agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, one analyst says there is no way every nation on the planet can meet its biodiesel mandate because there aren't enough feedstocks. Senators Grassley and Dorgan plan to amend the farm bill to include a $250,000 hard cap on commodity payments, and ocean freight rates are at an all-time high. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast, so stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On Tuesday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished like this. December wheat for the nearby contract for the soft red down 30 cents. That's the limit lower at 841. March down the limit as well at 861.5. July wheat at 679.5, down 15.5 cents for the day. December corn futures 361, down 3.5. March contract at 377.75, down 3.25. And the May futures 3.25 lower at 388.5. December corn next year at $4.10 a bushel, a penny and 1/4 lower for the afternoon. Soy complex now, November beans 981.75, 5.25 higher. January futures at 999.25, up 5.5 cents. And the March futures at $10.12, 4.75 higher. Next year's Noves, 3.5 lower at 961 for the 2008 harvest month in the soybean pit. December bean meal futures at 276.60, up 90 cents. December soybean oil at 40.42, 20 cents higher. October live cattle at the Mercantile Exchange, 95.97.5, down 7.5 cents. December futures 35 cents lower at 97.22.5. October feeder cattle a dime lower at 111.35. November's at 111.10, down 52.5 cents. And December futures in the lean hog pit at $56.27.5, 62.5 cents lower for the day. Crude oil futures in the outside markets trading December contract at $85.17 a barrel, down 85 cents now. And the U.S. dollar at 77.569 is down 0.388. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,623, now stands just about 56 points higher for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the wheat pit. First, this is, I think, the ninth week, if I read this correctly, the ninth week of either a limit up or a limit move down in the wheat pit. But today's apparently it doesn't have much of a technical implication that goes along with it.
Well, Todd, yesterday there was a lot of talk about the Russia upping their export tariff, some people seeing as high as 50% tariff on things, which, of course, would relegate a lot of business coming to the U.S. If they did do that. No more talk of it today. In fact, there wasn't even confirmation that they'd go through their 10% that has been announced that they would probably move to. So along with that, along with some of the outside markets weakening, the crude oil being down, the gold giving up some of its gains, and also the Dow Jones moving to the upside, that along with it, we did create some weakness over there selling. It was not really wild or extensive selling that happened. It was just more lack of buying and follow through from yesterday's trade. And once again, then we dipped down and we're down 30 cents today. But the way this wheat market is, who knows what it'll be tomorrow.
And it almost seems that the traders are ignoring a portion of that when they get into the corn and the soybean pits and chugging along just as if they know exactly what the crop looks like, down 3.5 cents despite a 30-cent drop in the wheat, only 3.5 lower in the nearby December corn futures.
Well, you know, Todd, I think we bought the wheat acres we're going to buy now. They're at historically high levels. And the funds have somewhat given up on the wheat as far as the golden child as such. Now, we know that we need some more acreage compared to this last year in the beans. We know we don't want to lose as many as Informa put out on their estimates to the from the corn. So we're not going to take corn down hard, but we know we've got a tremendously big harvest. As we talked to a lot of our customers, they're finishing up or trying to, and their bins are full, their elevators are full. We know that Cargill over at Linden was only taking corn till noon today. Some of them were closed, you know, over the weekend. A lot of things like that. They're having trouble finishing up their last 75 to 200 acres because of room restraints at local elevators and their own bins at home. So we know we've got a good corn crop. We know we've got a good supply out here. And the Western Corn Belt seems to be getting back in line as far as making progress. And the weather looks a little more friendly for some better progress this week out there. Not much damage from the week and a half they were out either. They were saying on what happened, what was harvested today.
At the end of this month in Illinois, at least, farmland agreements have to be in place. And I emailed you along with the other four commodity closing market report analysts yesterday morning suggesting that we ought to take up gross income and protecting that because those agreements will be coming in. Farmers may or may not be liking what they see in the agreements. But I still think it's worthwhile to talk about protecting gross income and what they might want to do at this point. Did you think it over just a bit and have any thoughts about it?
Yeah, there's a lot of things out there, Todd. Of course, you know, we looked at the average land price for Illinois as far as cash rents went. It's like 141. And to increase where Gary Schitzky said that we need to go is somewhere around the $200, $203 level. We're hearing a lot of of rents being raised up close to the 200, the 190 to 205, 210, a lot of areas over there. So that does get in line with what he's talking about in between the, you know, the mid $4,000 an acre ground. You know, there's a couple other things as we look at here. We know that puts are very expensive, but we've got some very big levels that I think for their marginal bushels that are not insurable that some of the farmers want to take a look at. You know, we can insure up to an 85% level with CRC or revenue assurance, crop insurance, but there's that 15% that isn't there. And for those upper levels, as to pay these higher rents, maybe the insurance we need to buy is some puts underneath this market while we are up. You know, as we look at November 08 beans, they're 961. You know, maybe some $9 puts need to be put in place. Dease corn above $4 in the 410 range, you know, maybe some $4 puts need to be put in place to guarantee those bushels we can't insure with crop insurance. Todd, now also then along the way, we do feel that in these ranges it's going to be very beneficial to, you know, have at least 20% sold and have some guaranteed income coming in at certain levels.
I guess as I take a look at this in the wide range, and I talked to Gary yesterday morning and this morning, too, just about his article, which you can find on the FarmDoc website. It's on the front page, roughly speaking, but if you look, it's been moved, relegated off the front page, but hit the last 60 days. It's an article called Farmland Values, and then he talks about capitalized values at that point. And for me, as I looked at it, I was thinking that this was sort of the next thing that said that the price tags that we have on commodities at this point no longer are high. This is the new plateau that has to be maintained, and it all is laid on, I guess, the foot of the high price of crude oil and energy cost overall. We know that, for instance, and we'll hear this later from Dave Dickey during the Ag News segment, that there is an incredible high price at this point for freight going across growing ocean freight, and that this is all related to energy, but that in order to make the price of land as it is in that $4,000 to $5,000 range, the cash rents that probably are going to arrive in mailboxes fairly soon if they haven't already work, that there's got to be a new plateau, and that suddenly what we have considered high prices is no longer a high price for corn or soybeans.
Unfortunately, Todd, a lot of these farmers, as they go out and look at their seed cost, this new triple stack corn is not cheap. We get some extra bushels, but we have to get extra bushels because we're paying a lot more for it. Fertilizer costs have went through the roof. We are fighting for fertilizer, not with our neighbors, not here close, but with India, with China. As we talk to the people we know in the fertilizer industry, you know, we're going to take another increase in potash here the 1st of December, another one scheduled for the 1st of February. All of this, you know, anhydrous costs at the pipeline, close to $500 a ton, and that's before it's transported to the local fertilizer dealer, not to you, let alone any handling costs for that. So these are some tremendous costs coming in, and I think that I would behoove all landlords and farmers to sit down and look at the increased costs that these guys have as to try to both of them stay in business and make some money without just saying or hearing, my neighbor said that he's going to charge his tenant so much an acre to go on. And I think that a reasonable profit on each level, and maybe looking at the end of the year, if you do have the extra bushels produced and you over a certain level and the price is still up there and your gross for over so many bushels is there, then maybe we divide something at that point in time rather than put everything on the line and raise the cash rents and the base rent up very high right to begin with.
Yeah, there are agreements called flexible cash rent agreements that allow, I got to think about this just a bit, but they allow the sharing of extra bushels or extra gross income per acre over the agreed upon cash rent amount. And they also, and I think this is important, that they also allow the sharing of the loss if the income is lower than the cash rent agreed upon. So those are some things, and those you can find those cash rent agreements, I think, on the FarmDoc website too. It's just awfully important, it seems to me, that we've gone through phase one now of a boom cycle. Phase two will be adjusting to a new plateau and figuring out how all that works with the higher prices of grain that now look more like they are normal prices or closer to normal, and that everybody will have to be very careful in picking their way through this or suffer some financial consequences over time that we won't want to talk about. The last time that this happened was in the early 1980s, late 70s, and then we, of course, came into the mid-80s, and it was not pretty at that point.
No, it wasn't, Todd. We saw a lot of farmers that were undercapitalized and thought that they were going to live on inflation, and when it backed off, it wasn't there and didn't happen, and most of those people aren't farming anymore. Yeah. And like I say, we've cut down the number of farmers and continue to cut down the number, and we don't need to be losing a lot of good farmers because they are looking at just, well, I'm getting $4 for corn or I'm getting $10 for beans and thinking that they can pay some outlandish rents and that way. So we would hope that both sides are reasonable when they're considering this. We would like them to look at everything and try to work together, you know, and if there's, we feel here at L&M Commodities that it would be a better idea to do the flex leases towards the end that allow the farmer to give you more if he has something to share.
All right. We appreciate you being with us, and thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that we're ready for a bust cycle in agriculture in any terms, but that you have to prepare yourself. I'm fairly conservative in this, and I just believe that you have to prepare yourself for what is on the horizon, and things for me changed pretty dramatically when I read Gary's article, and I thought, well, here we are. We have to have a new plateau for grain prices, and that means everybody has to change the way they think, and they have to start protecting income at this point. That's my commentary, I suppose, for the afternoon. Let's take a look now at what the weather looks like from our own Ed Kieser. He says in the north tonight, in the north and in central sections of Illinois, it'll be clear to partly cloudy in central Indiana and the south, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, most numerous in the far south. Lows will range from 34 in northwestern Illinois to 47 in the far south. Tomorrow in the north and central sections, mostly sunny. In the south, mostly cloudy, a few showers near the Ohio River. Highs will range from 56 in the north to 63 in the south. Scattered showers are likely Thursday through Saturday as an upper air low pressure system meanders across the Midwest. Dry weather expected Sunday and into early next week. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment to take a complete look at today's agricultural newscast. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580.
In agricultural news, an independent European oilseed analyst predicts that countries around the world will have a difficult time meeting mandated targets for biodiesel use, largely because there are insufficient feedstocks. Germany's Oil World recommends nations cut their biodiesel mandates at least in the middle term. USDA is projecting that world soybean stocks in 2007-2008 will drop nearly 20% from this year, with the U.S. ending stocks down over 60%. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley and North Dakota's Byron Dorgan say when the Farm Bill reaches the Senate floor, they will attempt to attach an amendment that would put a $250,000 per farm per year hard cap on commodity payments. The amendment would also end the three-entity rule and tighten rules that define who is actively engaged in farming. Grassley called the payment proposal in the Farm Bill set for debate tomorrow, in his words, window dressing that doesn't accomplish much at all.
It's pretty hard for me to explain to somebody in New York that 10% of the biggest farmers ought to get 72% of the benefits that New Yorkers are paying into the farm program, or in the South, 80%, 10% getting 80%. And maintain their support and subsidizing big farmers to get bigger.
Dorgan adds the issue is giving agriculture a black eye.
A person bought a 17-acre site and is building a house. It's common knowledge around here that the new owners will collect payments on that site. Two-story house and a garage sit on another piece of land. The payments get about $4,500 a year. Never been involved in farming.
The Dorgan-Grassley amendment would limit subsidy payments to individuals to $125,000 a year. The Senate Agriculture Committee is set to mark up the Farm Bill tomorrow morning at 8:30 Central Time. The cost of shipping raw materials across the ocean has reached an all-time high. The average price of renting a ship to carry raw materials from Brazil to China has nearly tripled to $180,000 a day from $65,000 a year ago. Analysts say there are not enough bulk ships to handle surging global trade growth in China, India, and other developing nations. And the Deputy Administrator of the Energy Information Administration says expect high energy prices to continue in 2008. Howard Gruinspect made his comments before the House Agriculture Committee.
Retail diesel prices in 2008 are projected to average nearly $3 per gallon, up about 20 cents from their 2007 level. This winter, heating oil is expected to be about 40 cents per gallon higher than last winter.
Gruinspect's figures are computed on $70 a barrel oil. Last week, oil traded above $90 a barrel for the first time ever. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including most of the ag programming. You can download it as an MP3 file directly from the website or sign up to have it delivered directly to your computer via a podcast. It's at willag.org. While you're there, make sure you hit subscribe for our free weekend newsletter.
I'm sure you will not be sorry at WILLAG.org. Well, up next in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus asks, is this ethanol's last chance?
The year is 1979. The United States is in an oil crisis created by the Iranian Revolution that has disrupted Middle East oil exports. President Jimmy Carter famously wears a sweater during a speech in which he asks Americans to turn down their thermostats and conserve energy. Drivers wait in long lines at gas stations. The price of oil goes from $15 a barrel to almost $40 a barrel in just a year, adding to inflation woes. The panic over oil leads to greater interest in gasohol, an alcohol fuel that can be made from fermenting corn and other agricultural feedstocks. Farm organizations promote the idea, like adding chicory to coffee, gasohol can stretch the nation's fuel supply. Congress picks up on it and debates national goals and tax incentives for expanded gasohol production. Then, some of the nation's newspapers go on a campaign against federal subsidies for gasohol. An April 26, 1980 article by the Washington Post editorial argues that furthered federal help for gasohol producers will inevitably raise food prices and calls the subsidies wanton public policy. Of course, the editorial doesn't mention subsidization of the petroleum industry through billions of defense dollars spent to protect oil wells and pipelines in volatile parts of the world. As the energy debate continues in Washington, the Iranian hostage crisis drags on. A national election nears, oil production picks up, lines at pumps shorten, a new season of Dallas begins, and everyone moves on. Gasohol isn't the hot topic anymore. Does this sound familiar? Sometime later, gasohol became known as ethanol. However, ethanol today faces the same old criticism that helped deep six gasohol and postpone our 1970s efforts toward greater energy dependence. Once again, concerns about the reliability of the nation's oil supply, along with the new issues, have stirred interest in the corn-based fuel. Security concerns in the Middle East, record-high oil prices, and Hurricane Katrina's disruption of U.S. oil refineries and offshore rigs have raised supply worries. Meanwhile, increased awareness about global warming is driving interest in energy sources, such as ethanol, that emit less pollution. Once again, national newspapers are raising criticism over making fuel from a food source. Although corn farmers planted about 12 million more acres of corn this year than last and are expected to harvest a record crop, misconceptions spread about the ethanol's impact on food prices. A predicted shakeout in the industry due to production capacity outstripping demand has contributed to a decrease in ethanol prices and investment. Several planned ethanol plants around the country are on hold. The criticism hasn't helped. The emergence of gasohol in the late 1970s was ethanol's first chance at success. The phenomenal growth of the U.S. ethanol industry since 2000 has been ethanol's second chance. There may not be a third chance. Ongoing federal support in the form of greater production goals and extended tax credits is needed to ensure we don't lose this opportunity again. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved as well by sharing your views. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Well, I spent a little extra time with Wayne Nelson today, so we won't have time to get to Harry Cooney just now. Don't worry about that too much because he'll be up just after we get through the regional newscast. I know for a fact that Don Day is not available, so we'll talk to Harry Cooney of Growmark about the Ag Energy segment in just about 2 minutes. Right now, it is time for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Democrats in Illinois' 15th congressional district will have at least one candidate willing to challenge incumbent Republican Tim Johnson. Steve Cox of Urbana is circulating petitions to get on next February's primary ballot. The retired federal worker is focusing his campaign on U.S. involvement in Iraq, saying Congress needs to acknowledge the error of invading and help Iraq rebuild. Johnson is expected to run for a fifth term next year. Champaign County Democratic Chairman Tony Fabry says he knows of no other Democrats wanting to enter the February primary so far. It just got easier to explore the links between political donations and state contracts in Illinois. Comptroller Dan Hines has launched a website making it simple to look up who's given money to Illinois politicians and whether the donors ended up giving a government contract. The Chicago Democrat says he hopes the open book site sheds light on so-called pay-to-play politics. State Senator Carol Ronan is stepping down in January after serving 15 years in the state legislature. The Chicago Democrat says she hopes to remain involved in government and politics, but she doesn't have a new job lined up yet. She says she feels it's time to go, especially after months of bitter disagreement and gridlock in Springfield. Ronan has been one of Governor Rob Blagojevich's most consistent legislative allies. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels plans to unveil proposals on property tax reform in a speech tonight. Daniels has said that his plan will be fair, far-reaching, and lasting, and it will likely include amending the state constitution. A second lawsuit has been filed in an attempt to stop the U.S. Army from shipping the byproduct of VX nerve agent from Indiana's Newport Chemical Depot to Texas. The suit from the Chemical Weapons Working Group contends that the Army had considered an on-site waste disposal method, but hid it in favor of the current policy of trucking the liquid wastewater to a plant in Port Arthur, Texas, for incineration. The Army had temporarily suspended shipments from Newport when the first suit was filed, but an Army spokesman says that won't happen this time. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Time now to take our Tuesday look at the Agricultural Energy segment. And Harry Cooney with GrowMark, an Ag Energy Analyst, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Harry. We appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You know, tell me about this $90 a barrel crude oil that we managed to get this week.
Well, we had a bunch of fun buying that has taken us up to some astronomical highs, up around $90 a barrel here recently. We did just touch over $90 a barrel briefly, and we have some topping out, it appears, now that's going on, and we've set back to about $85 here now, and history would suggest that the October time period is a great time of the year to put in a peak for the entire year. So we're hoping that we maybe have that in place now, but it's far too early to tell if that was the real peak or not in here. We're hoping to start making some more contracting recommendations for our GrowMark member cooperative companies here over the next 2 to 3 months. Usually you get a setback into the Thanksgiving to Christmas time period.
And what kind of setback are you thinking might come?
Well, that's kind of what we're trying to get our arms around also. Usually you'd get like a 10 to 15% setback, and when you have crude at $90, that's at least a $9 setback. And when you look at some of the price charts, it suggests that we should be able to get back to at least the $83 to $84 level. And today here on the board, we closed at $85.27. So it would appear there is some downside to be had a little further than where we're at, and then we're hoping we can get down to 80 or below even, but hoping at least down to 83 to 84 at the very minimum.
Crude oil, one of the primary energy inputs for agriculture. Another energy input would be natural gas. Have you been watching it?
Yes, natural gas we've been watching real closely, and of course natural gas has been staying in the, oh, probably the $5.50 to $8 trading range for a year and a half now. And the funds, the big money people, we said the funds are net long in the crude oil in a big way, but they've been net short in the natural gas here. So they're betting on lower prices even as the winter is not too many months ahead of us here now. So natural gas kind of just caught in a wide trading range here of a couple of dollars.
And what does that mean for nitrogen supplies and prices?
Well, from our agronomy folks here at GrowMark, they tell us that really the nitrogen prices have kind of decoupled themselves from the natural gas prices. Natural gas has stayed low, while ammonia prices have just zoomed and stayed strong overall. So it's been kind of a tough hedge if you used a long natural gas contract to hedge your ammonia needs, because the natural gas market hasn't moved much overall, while the ammonia price has stayed strong. So I don't know if it's going to be a good way to look at it overall, but we still know that one of the largest input costs in making ammonia is the use of natural gas, so we still like to look at it. And right in here now, though, we're sitting just under $7 on the futures market in natural gas.
Any speculation as to why the decoupling came? Is it because farmers have wanted to pay more for it, or will it, or could pay more for it, and they could charge more for it, or is it energy cost and freight and moving it around?
One of probably the biggest reasons for the natural gas price itself staying down is probably the stock situation. Stocks are over the 5-year average here in natural gas. They have been that way for many months now, and a year ago they were above the 5-year average. They're still above the 5-year average, and we just haven't really had a lot of cold weather in the U.S. in the past couple of years to really draw the stocks down severely. So that's one of the biggest things, is that you just have a lot of stocks of natural gas, and at the same time you have a lot of demand for the ammonia products because of the strong grain prices and the good times on the farms here.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is an energy market analyst for GrowMark, joins us from his Bloomington, Illinois office, and that is today's closing market report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets, and that you can listen to today's futures analysis, the weather reports, right there on the World Wide Web, too. Just go to willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good and a very safe afternoon.